May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Do please have a seat. Well, I don't know, have you heard of the app What Three Words? Anybody heard it? Anybody got it on their phone? One or two? Yes. Well, the idea is that every square meter of England, maybe the UK, has been given three words to identify it. So where I'm standing right now, the three words are poker, strain, cloud. And the idea, I think, is that let's suppose we were suddenly surrounded by armed terrorists. We could phone 999 and say to the police, we're at poker, strain, cloud. And hopefully they'd come and rescue us quickly, knowing exactly where we are. Well, this evening, what I'd like to do is to give you, just for a few minutes, three words. What three words for marriage? And these are three words that can rescue a marriage, that can develop a marriage, that can prosper a marriage. And they come in the first three, in the first sentence of the New Testament reading. And what are they? Love one another. Love one another. The only marriage preparation we need is preparation in how to love one another. The only marriage counseling we ever need is counseling about how to love one another. If we all perfectly loved one another, there would be no divorce. And if you're here and not married, these words are relevant to you, they're relevant to everybody, because what is the second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. And if we could all love our neighbor, we'd have the most wonderful communities and homes and workplaces and so on. So let me just take a few moments to think about how the first reading, well, really the first verse of the first reading, second reading, answers two questions about that. What does it mean to love one another? And how can we find the strength to love one another? So first of all, what does it mean to love one another? Well, John writes, John the Apostle, verse 7, let us love one another. So he's exhorting these Christians to love one another. Now, he wasn't specifically, well, he wasn't thinking about marriage when he first wrote that, but we can apply what he says to marriage or indeed any other kind of love. So what he's saying, look, come on, church. You're loving each other already, and we know that they are from earlier in the letter, but he's saying, you're doing it already. Do it more. Love one another some more. Now, an exhortation, of course, assumes that it's possible to choose to love. One dictionary definition of love is, that I looked up, an intense feeling of deep affection. John can't mean love in that sense, because you can't choose to have an intense feeling of deep affection. So in what sense is he using the term love? Well, in the passage it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world. And so John is using the word love in the sense that Jesus loved. And what did Jesus do? Well, he came into the world, human form, and as Peter the Apostle says, he went around doing good. He went around making people's lives better and happier. Well, sometimes he made people unhappy if they needed a rebuke or a challenge. But on the whole, he made, even that was making their lives better. But he went around doing good. On the poet Oliver Goldsmith's grave or tombstone, in Latin, the inscription is, he touched nothing which he did not beautify. And it means that he took the words of the English language and he made them beautiful. And we could say that of Jesus Christ, couldn't we? He touched nothing which he did not beautify. He made people's lives better, happier, more beautiful. And supremely he did that, of course, by dying on a cross. My song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me. Love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. And love, in the sense that John uses it here, is to act to make somebody else's life happier and better. What's that look like in practice? Well, it might look like when we're planning some change of life, some change of circumstances, and we don't just think, well, how does this plan affect me? We think, how does it affect my spouse? How would it make life better for them? Perhaps we've got a way of talking that's not loving. Perhaps we are rather sort of belittling, or we put our spouse down, or we don't listen, or we interrupt. Well, to love is to say things like, well done, that was good, tell me more. And probably it means at least 5 things every day should go unsaid. Perhaps we need to love with our resources. In our wedding service, we would have heard the words, with all my worldly goods I thee endow, or in the modern version, all that I have I share with you. And I love my spouse by sharing with them everything that I have. Perhaps we need to love by becoming more generous in our interpretation of somebody else's behavior, our spouse's behavior. In a book called Why You Will Marry the Wrong Person, interesting title, isn't it? The author says, love is a skill that needs to be learned. To love ultimately is to have the willingness to interpret someone's on the surface not very appealing behavior in order to find more benevolent reasons why it might be unfolding. In other words, to love someone is to apply charity and generosity of interpretation. Most of us are in dire need of love because we need some slack to be cut for us. So what does it mean to love? To love one another? Well, it means this, in this context, to act, to make somebody else's, my spouse's, life happier and better. Now, the trouble is, that's easier said than done. I read in Mark's Gospel yesterday or the day before that the religious authorities handed Jesus over to be crucified out of, and this is what it says in the Gospel, out of self-interest. So they took this man who'd done all this good and these amazing miracles, and self-interest was so powerful that they said, no, we want to crucify him. And self-interest is very, very powerful in us. So where can we find the strength to love? Well, John tells us in the words in verse 7, love comes from God. So he's saying, look, people, Christians, why can you love? Because love comes from God. And I think he'd probably say, look, that's true of everybody. People, whether they're religious or not, Christian or not. Because we're all made in the image of God. And God is love. So just by our creation, we'll find love. But it applies particularly to Christian people. It's true of them in a special way because, John goes on, Christians have been, quote, born of God. So to be a Christian is to be changed in the center of our being in a way that is personal and profound and permanent. Oh, that a man might arise in me, that the man I am might cease to be, said Tennyson. Oh, that a man or woman might arise in me in the likeness of Jesus Christ, that I might cease to be. Well, God says, yes, that's what I'll do for you. If you're born of God, that's what's going to happen. So how can we find the strength to love one another more? Well, if we haven't been born of God, be born of God. And it's possible to be very nice, pretty moral, even religious, and yet not be born of God. Are you struggling to love? Well, could it be that you've not been born of God? Why not use that first hymn as a prayer? Beautiful verse, isn't it? Oh, comforter, draw near. Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Within my heart appear and kindle it with thy holy flame bestowing. It's a prayer to be born again, born of God. Perhaps we've been born of God, but the flame of his life is burning low. Somebody recently gave this beautiful description of her faith. She said, well, I've had a faith since childhood, but it's kind of been like the pilot light. So it's there, but it's quite small. And I think she was saying, well, it's like the main burner hasn't been lit. And sometimes I think that can be the case. We've been born of God. There's the divine life in us, but it's just flickering. It's very small. And perhaps we need to pray for the Holy Spirit, as it were, to light the main burner. And if we have been born of God and the flame is burning quite nicely, we'll then ask the Holy Spirit to guard that flame, to make it continue to burn within us. So the specifically Christian answer to how can we find strength to love from this passage is be born of God and ask the Holy Spirit to guard that flame of life. So I leave you with these three words, the what three words of marriage: love one another. And you'll probably forget most of what I've said this evening, but hopefully you'll be able to remember those three words: love one another. And maybe we could pray at the start of each day, Lord, what can I do to make the life of my spouse today a little bit happier, a little bit better? Please show me that thing and help me to do it. And by the grace of God, might we be a little bit better at doing that in 2024 than we were in 2023. Amen. We continue in prayer.